Coming to you from outside the perimeter, the NSA surveillance state. This is Pastor Mike Hoggard with another Watchman video broadcast. We were talking last week about the NSA, the CIA, the ABCs, and all those other different government entities that are running a program that, for some reason, they want to know all of our secrets. We can't know any of theirs. The PRISM program. The system that wants to look in on everybody in the country. We want to listen to all your phone calls. We want to read all your emails. We want to know your browser history. We want to know who you've been with. We want to know all your Facebook information. We're going to do a facial recognition of your face so that wherever you go, we can spot you in a crowd and know exactly what you're doing. They want all of this information on everybody. But for some reason, a guy blows the lid off this thing and uncovers it for everybody. Now, all of a sudden, he's in trouble. I think it should be the other way around. See, we have a constitution supposed to be protecting our rights to our privacy in our person and our effects and our papers. The government isn't supposed to be looking at our papers, our information, our stuff. They're not supposed to be doing what they're doing in the airport lines. Stand there and smile. We're the ones who get in trouble for talking about it. They're the ones who get off scot-free, and nothing ever happens to them. This is the program that they're running right now, and we were talking about that last week. I'm not going to deal so much with the surveillance issues, because there's just more and more news coming in all the time about what this program is doing, about the abilities that our government has to listen in, to watch in, to know exactly what everybody in America is doing. And really, it's for our peace and safety, isn't it? After all, it's for our peace and our safety. I want you to remember that. And you're already going, hey, I know a verse in the Bible. We'll get there. We'll get there. What was interesting to me was the design of the logo and the name that the government used. Now, the government could have said American Surveillance Mechanism, ASM. They could have called it that. They didn't call it that. They called it a PRISM. And what was interesting to me, being a student, number one, of the Scriptures, and I believe the Bible reveals all the deep and secret and hidden things. I believe what God said. Jesus told his disciples, there's nothing hidden that shall not be revealed. And so, number one, being a student of the Bible, I know that what goes on behind the scenes, like at a Masonic Lodge meeting or a Mormon temple meeting, even the Bilderberg meeting, what goes on behind closed doors in Washington, D.C., I believe that those things can be known by way the Scripture wants to reveal what is happening in the last days. So, number one, being a student of Scripture. Number two, being a student of symbols. And I see things like this. I see the symbolism of it. And I was curious at what this represented. Now, we dealt with the idea of, you see the colors coming off there. We dealt with the idea of the rainbow as far as what the Bible says. Let me go back and give you a refresher course. Just one place in the Scripture that we covered last week. Then we're going to launch forward to see what really is the end game behind all this. What is the agenda? And while the government doesn't want, they want to play cover-up. They don't want you to play cover-up. They want to play cover-up. They want to hide everything that they're doing. I believe that the end game can be known. Now, let me get into this. Let me show you Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 28. In order to understand the symbolism of the rainbow, remember in Genesis 9, God said, when I bring the cloud over the land, and God's going to bring... The Bible repeatedly talks about the day of the Lord being a day of clouds, a day of clouds, a day of clouds. Christ said, I'm coming in the clouds. God said, Genesis 9, when I bring the cloud over the land, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And this was a token of the covenant that God was making with mankind. Hence, a picture of the coming of Jesus Christ. Christ, now I want you to think about this now, Christ is the rainbow. He is the seven colors of God. He is all of those things. And he is the token of God's promise to mankind that he's going to keep his promise. So far he has. So far God has not destroyed the world again with water. Good job, God. But it also represents, the rainbow also represents the glory of God. God's own glory. People worship his glory. That's God's honor. That is God's radiating brightness, when we see it, we just stand in awe and we worship an almighty God. So let's look at it. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 28. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, just like what Noah said, or what God said to Noah, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. Now I want you to look exactly what Ezekiel's saying here. He's saying that the rainbow in the cloud is a likeness of the glory of the Lord. So that's what the Bible's telling you it is a symbol of. It's what it represents. So when you see it back in Genesis chapter 9, that is the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. If you look in Exodus chapter 16, 66th chapter of the Bible, go read it. It's a beautiful, beautiful chapter about the appearance of the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud and then God giving them the bread from heaven. The bread, of course, is the Word of God, 66 books, 66 chapter of the Bible. It's so beautiful. Go back and read it. So anyway, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud in Exodus chapter 16. So we have the same type here, Revelation 10. We see the mighty angel, I believe it's Jesus, coming down from heaven. He's clothed with a cloud. He's got the rainbow over his head. So the glory of the Lord is appearing in the cloud because he's literally clothed with the cloud. He's inside the cloud. So these beautiful, beautiful symbols we're seeing in the Scripture. So now, that's Christ. This is Antichrist. See how simple this is. So you have to ask the question. This rainbow coming out of this prison, does that represent Christ? No, because God doesn't need a super secret computer to surveil everybody. He just goes, I know what everybody's doing right now. He knows it. In fact, the Bible says that God knew it before he even created the world. God knew it, his foreknowledge of every event on the earth, of everybody, and all the hairs of their head numbered. God knew it all. See, this is what really I like. The God that we serve is more powerful than the devil they serve. The devil wants to be like the Most High. He just can't quite pull it off because he goes, I see that. Well, I see that. Well, I missed that. He needs a surveillance. He needs cameras. He needs a network. He needs help from us, from mankind. So that's what's being set up. So the idea of this rainbow coming out of this prism obviously is not a representation of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is something else. Now I'm going to show you this. Psalm chapter 4, verse 2. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn, look at it, my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. Selah, I think, means it's a pause, like meditate on that. Think about that. Then look at Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8. He said, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Now, again, let's look at it. In Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 28, when Ezekiel saw the glory of the Lord and recognized that it was the appearance of the... he saw the rainbow, saw that it was the appearance of the glory of the Lord, he fell upon his face. In other words, he fell down in awe and admiration and worship toward the one and true God. Here in Isaiah 42:8, he says, I will not give my glory, neither my praise to graven images. Remember what Lucifer says in Isaiah chapter 14. I will ascend above, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne. Exalt. I want everybody to praise me. My throne above the stars of God. I want the stars to sing praises to me. I will be like the Most High. He wants, Ezekiel 28 says, he wants to sit in the seat of God. That's where the glory is. He wants to sit there. He wants to be crowned with that glory. I want you to remember that I said that. He wants to be crowned. He wants that rainbow over his head. Wait till I show you what I've got lined up here. He wants that. He wants the praise. And God said, I won't give it to anybody else. Now, Jesus said in John 17, Lord, Father, give me the glory that we had before the world was. God didn't have a problem sharing his glory with his only begotten son. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And so that glory extends to the Lord Jesus Christ because he also is God. And yet now we have Lucifer, the fallen angel, the anointed cherub that covereth. He's cut down to the ground. He's weakened the nations. And he wants that glory. He wants that praise. That's what that rainbow represents. Now, look again at this symbol here. We're going to break it down. This is what we like to do here. Notice we have we actually have like a triangle or something similar to a pyramid. It has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 sides. Think about that. The two face sides, the two sides, and the bottom. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, that's the church, in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That's what that, you see, it's occulted, it's hidden. You wouldn't just look at it and go, oh, that's a number 5 there. But if you look at it carefully, that's what you see. Here's another representation of this. See the pyramid there. And that's really essentially what you're dealing with. The light going into the pyramid and coming out in a different form. A lot of you headbangers, former headbangers, you remember this album, don't you? Pink Floyd. We don't need no education. Dark Side of the Moon. That was his symbol. So we're, I mean, think about what's being presented to people, not overtly. No one in the New World Order has ever said, we're going to take over the world for Lucifer. Get it? They've never said that. They always hide or occult their meanings, their end game, their secrets, their plans, and everything. Thank God we have a Bible to open these things up for. So we look at this and we see the occult symbolism of this rainbow, Dark Side of the Moon, and all that stuff. All right. And by the way, we don't need no. That was pure rebellion. That song, The Wall, was pure rebellion. That is the spirit of the Antichrist. Remember what witchcraft is. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And so we're going to look at this rainbow now. We've already gotten our depth and our meaning from the scriptures. Now we take it and we apply it to the occult world, the things that are going on around us. Of course, anytime you're dealing with secrets and mysteries and occult and things that shouldn't be known by everybody, you're going to be dealing with Freemasonry. And so Freemasonry just happens to have an organization. It's one of these auxiliary organizations to keep the family busy while the dads are at the lodge meeting and so they don't ask questions. The Eastern Star, there it was. They have the Eastern Star for the wives to get together, so they're not constantly asking, what you got to do at the lodge meeting? Honey, I can't tell you. Well, I want to know. So they put them in the Eastern Star and make them think that they're really achieving something. And then they have, the young boys thing where they're trying to raise these Boy Scouts is one of them. Do you know the Boy Scouts was started by a Mason? Think about it. You achieve levels and higher degrees, and there's all kinds of Masonic emblems in there and all kinds of stuff. And now they're allowing sodomites. We're going to look at that here in a little bit, too. But then we have the Rainbow Girls. Look at the symbolism here, the Rainbow Girls. Oh, look, there's our triangle. So you have light going into the triangle there in the center of this logo. And you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 rays of different colors coming out. And, of course, you see the symbol of the rainbow. This is a Masonic organization bringing these young ladies up into what's called the Rainbow Girls. Notice the hands clasped together. It's kind of hard for me to shake my own hand. The hands clasped together. Here's what that means. This is an opposite. This is the left side coming into the right side. And we'll show you sort of the meaning of that. In fact, we've already dealt with this in many places. Manly Hall and Albert Pike would say, well, this side represents the feminine, the earthly. This side represents the masculine, the heavenly. And they're clasped together. They're locked together in a Masonic grip. That's what the handshake represents in Freemasonry. So we know that it's the fusion of two things together to form a third thing, where these seven colors are radiating out. Take a look at this picture again, and you start to see the rainbow coming out of the pyramid or the triangle or the prism. The rainbow is a very, very important symbol in the New Age movement. That's New Age. I call it New Age because it rhymes with sewage. You got it. Take a look at this. Over the rainbow, dreams come true. Somewhere over the rainbow. So think about the meaning of this. And by the way, have somebody in this logo, right in the center point of the many colors of the rainbow, you have someone doing yoga. They're all tied up in a knot, and their body's making all these different things. So we're dealing with Eastern mystical thought, the idea of the transformation of the mind, of the consciousness, even of the body. Reincarnation, that's what it's all about. Reincarnation is basically Freemasonry done by a repeated death, sort of like the dying god. Reincarnation says you start out at a low spot. You want to end up at a high spot up here, and so you have to die like 25, 30 times in order to get there. Do you remember the movie Groundhog Day? Bill Murray, on the 33rd day of the year, think about it, February 2nd, was dying every night, rebirthed again every morning, and every day he was bettering himself. Learned how to play the piano, he learned everybody's secrets, he learned all the... He essentially became a god because of what he could do. And he was doing that over and over and over again. So that's what this symbol is associated with. It's associated with the transformation of mankind into gods. Here's this one right here. Take a look at this logo here. And you're going to instantly recognize it. You're going to know exactly what this particular symbol means. It is the symbol for the gay pride movement. Take a look at it again, because I'm going to show you. There's a word there, and I'm going to show you what this means and what this represents. This is the symbol of the sodomites all over the world. It is the symbol of the gay pride movement. Here again, you have a triangle, like a prism. You have the colors of the rainbow represented herein. It represents a transformation. And we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But to me, the biggest part of this is the word pride. Pride. Every time they have a parade, what do they call it? Oh, this is our pride parade. We're proud of the fact that we're two men and we kiss each other on the mouth. God said in Romans chapter 1 that was an abomination. He said it all throughout the Old Testament. He said it's absolutely wrong for this to happen. And I've been telling everybody for the last few years, and it's not that I'm just some super genius or some big prophet from God and I know the future. It's just how things, you can just look at it and say, this is where we're headed. Several years ago, we had major Christian leaders like Rick Warren, Rob Bell, Brian McLaren, et al., others, Jimmy Baker's son, Jay Baker. These guys were taking a soft position on the sin of sodomy. Very soft position on it. It looked to me like at some point, they were going to actually go against what the Bible was saying about it to an open endorsement. So far, Rob Bell has done it, Jay Baker's done it, Brian McLaren's done it, and Rick Warren has done it. He's essentially said that that he doesn't believe that a man loving another man is a sin. And even if they fornicate with one another, it may not be sinful. That's what he said. And this is interesting because of the word pride here. And I'm going to show you that right out of this. See, God knew this already. He already knew this. Ezekiel chapter 16 is talking about Jerusalem and how corrupt Jerusalem has become. Jerusalem represents the church, I believe, and how corrupt the church has become. And I want you to notice what God said here. He said in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49, "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom." So, and of course, we know from Genesis chapter 18 and chapter 19, we know that the land of Sodom was full of sodomites. Get it? They were people who lived in Sodom. But we call them sodomites. We call homosexuals or gay people or all the other words for them. We call them that. That's what the Bible calls them because of what we see in Genesis 19. In Genesis 19, it said the men, both young and old, they all knew each other, literally. And when the two male angels came into town, they wanted Lot to kick them out so we may know them. They wanted to commit gay, homosexual fornication with these angels. But what leads to that kind of depravity? What leads to that? God said, "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom." First word out of his mouth was pride. First word out of God's mouth associated with Sodom was pride. Fullness of bread and abundance of idleness. Sounds like America at the Chinese buffet, doesn't it? It was in her and in her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And if you just look at it, the symbol of the triangle, the colors of the rainbow, and the word pride, it comes right out of the scriptures. God said later of his people, they declare their sin as Sodom. They're open about it. They're not trying to hide it anymore. They're out there, baby, and they're loving it. And so now this spirit of Sodom is encompassing our entire world as they march behind the banner of the rainbow. Here's an article just came out last week. Rainbow flag raised at Syracuse City Hall to celebrate gay, look at the word, pride. Mayor Stephanie A. Minor kicked off a celebration of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered, queer pride in Syracuse today by raising the rainbow flag over City Hall with members of CNY Pride. Minor presented a proclamation honoring the accomplishments of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered individuals, the advancement of gay rights, and the anniversary of the Stonewall riots. It is an honor to raise the pride flag over City Hall each year. You see, remember, they declare their sin. So we're raising the flag. Look at what we are. We're an abomination to God. This is what we're doing. They're all marching behind the symbol of the rainbow. Now, here's what in the Newage Thought, I think Elise Bailey wrote about this and some others. They talked about the symbolism of what a homosexual represented. Here you have a man with female tendencies who thinks like a woman. You have the fusion of the male-female embedded into that person. That's why this is such a strong and powerful symbol for them, because it is it's an accurate representative of the Antichrist. Think of what we learned about Leonardo da Vinci. Leonardo da Vinci was a sodomite. And he drew a sketch called Angel in the Flesh, or Flesh Angel, that I'm not going to show it to you, but it basically was a guy, maybe, sort of feminine facial features, and he had part female parts and part male parts in the same body. This same image from like the head up, because this image of flesh angel in the flesh, the spirit world mingled with the human world, was an androgynous type being, and it was making like this gesture, doing this with his face. That was the exact same pose and face and gesture that Leonardo da Vinci used for his painting of John the Baptist, the androgynous guy. So we know who that is. That is Baphomet. He is, look at him. He is angel in the flesh. He has wings, and he's in a human body. And that human body is female and male together. And I want you to notice that there is a rainbow here over his male part. Are we getting somewhere here? And notice his hands, one pointing up, one pointing down. We're going to look at the symbolism that here in just a little bit, the pentagram, which is his five-point plan and so on. So this is why this symbol of the rainbow and the triangle is associated with the Antichrist, because and the gay pride movement, because the homosexuals, the transgendered, which means that they have fused the two genders together, woman becoming a man becoming a woman. They fused them together in the same body, and it represents the spirit of Antichrist. That's why you have the rainbow. They're following the flag of the rainbow. Now remember, hang on here. Ready? Remember, the rainbow over the top of the throne represented the glory of the Lord. Here comes Jesus, clothed with a cloud, and he's got a rainbow over his head. He's wearing it like a crown. Take a look at this. Newsweek came out last year. The first gay president. I see an antichrist here. No, I don't believe Barack Hussein is the antichrist, but he is an antichrist. He's wearing the crown of the rainbow over his head. Remember what Lucifer said, I will be like the Most High. How many things, in Obama's acceptance speech, in the 2008 presidential election, he comes out, nomination speech, he comes out in, Denver, Colorado, and they basically built a Greek temple. And so here is a God, Messiah figure, in a Greek temple. Now they show him with a rainbow over his head. Another Messiah, another Jesus. That's what he represents. So we're starting to see this now a little bit clearer. This is not just an evil government trying to take over everybody, but that is part of it. There is an end game to this. It is all an essential part of bringing the entire world under the dominion of the Antichrist. Now, we pointed out last week, and if you probably already knew this, the rainbow takes in light. And what it does, the prism separates the seven color bands that's already present inside that light. I have light shining on me right now. You go outside, there's sunlight. You take a prism or anything like that, you shine it on something, and you're going to see the light going in there, and then it's called refracted, not reflected. It's refracted into, fractured means it's broken up, refracted into its seven primary colors. We looked at the symbolism of the number seven. In fact, we did just at the beginning of this year a multi-part series dealing with the symbolism of the number seven, both in the Bible and in the occult realm. So I encourage you to go back, and I'm just going to cover a little bit of that information today as we move forward, just so you can understand the nature of it. You remember, here's a quote from a book that I have, Element Encyclopedia of Secret Signs and Symbols. The book says, the seven colors of the rainbow, which break down into 700 shades that are visible to the naked eye, are associated with, number one, the seven planets, number two, the days of the week, the seven heavens, and the seven notes of the musical scale. And we showed all the quotes from Manly Hall and Albert Pike and all these things about what the nature of the number seven represents. So a rainbow represents a number. Represents the number seven. What does that number have to do with? If you remember from our teaching on that, in Eastern mysticism, in the practice of Kundalini Yoga, they teach that you have seven chakras or seven points in your body where you have, and notice that they're associated with different colors and so on. And the teaching of Kundalini is that you have a coiled up serpent at the base of your spine. You have a beast down in the lower part, down in your bottom. Okay, that's literally what that is. You have a beast coiled up down in there. And when you perform the rituals of yoga, when you chant or write mantras, when you lose your mind and everything floats out of your mind, then that serpent goes through seven stages of initiation as it unwinds up your 33-bone spinal column to reach the top, the head, the crown. Now it's going to be the head, and it activates your pineal gland, which they say makes you awake, but it actually puts you to sleep. See how they double speak? It's all the opposite is what it is. And so it represents the journey of the beast coming up out of the sea into the world to rule and reign over mankind. That's what that rainbow represents. Seven stages, seven eras, seven things that are going to bring about the Antichrist to rule and reign over this world. You see it here in the symbols of alchemy. Alchemy is all about, you have the seven planets. Those are symbols of the seven parts of the transformation of lead going in, turning into gold. They say, well, we're going to turn lead into gold. It's not what it's about. It's about turning mortals, humans who can die, turning them into gods, famous alchemist throughout history, one by the name of Nicolas Flamel. You say, I've never heard that name before. Ask a 12-year-old. Ask somebody who is in their teens who has read the Harry Potter books. They know who Nicolas Flamel is. He shows up in the very first Harry Potter book as an occultist, as an alchemist, who has discovered the Philosopher's Stone, the secret, and that's what one of the books was named after, the secret of the Sorcerer's Stone or Philosopher's Stone. And Nicolas Flamel supposedly had found that secret to immortality. He was like 300-400 years old in this book. So your kids know about it. They've been indoctrinated on it. They have learned about these things even if you haven't. And so that number 7 represents the transformation of mankind into a new consciousness or a new enlightenment. The light comes in the prism and it's cast out in a different shape and in a different form. One writer said it was held to be the number, I think Manly Hall said this, it was held to be the number of religion because man is controlled by 7 celestial spirits to whom it is proper for him to make offerings. Now remember last week, and we talked about this in previous Watchmen broadcasts, the idea of the number 7 in God's realm represents, number 1, the Holy Spirit, and the 7 spirits of God represents the Word of God. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver, tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Number 7 means perfection and completion. The Word of God is perfect, and it is absolutely complete. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. So we have a connection here between the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Manly Hall was telling you that mankind is controlled over by 7 celestial spirits, represented by the 7 planets or the 7 chakras or the 7 dwarves or the 7 colors of the rainbow. That's when you see any of these symbols, that's what you're looking and that's what you're dealing with. When we go back to the scriptures for this, this is what we find. Revelation 13:1, and I stood upon the sand of the sea. And I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. These 7 heads represent the spirits of Antichrist that John talked about. The Antichrist is already at work. His spirit is already at work. Paul referenced it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that spirit that is now already at work inside of mankind and in the events that take place in this world. When you look at what these 7 heads represent and this beast, here's something very, very interesting. I'm going to connect the idea of the rule and reign of the beast, the Antichrist, in the last days. Who knows how soon that's going to be? Because, I mean, we're seeing with our eyes, and we put our King James Bible glasses on, we can see that it's being set up right in front of our very eyes. Take a look at this. We're going to connect the PRISM program and what it means to what we see in the Scripture. So here we have a beast with 7 heads. Revelation 13:2, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear. His mouth is the mouth of a lion. Now I'm going to stop right here. If I ever encountered a leopard, if I go back to Africa and I see a leopard there, I'm not going to go, hi, little leopard, can I pet you on the head? I'm going to run like crazy. You know why? He will overpower me. If I see a bear, we have bears in Missouri. If I'm out deer hunting one year and I see a bear, I'm not going to be Daniel Boone. I guarantee you that. I'm going to do whatever I can. That bear will overpower me. If I see a lion, I'm going to run. That lion can overpower me. So if you think about the symbolism of that. And the dragon, crucified, lived in the days of Noah, and I saw a dragon, I would run because it would overpower me. And the dragon gave him his, look here, power and his seat and great what? Authority. So number 1, we know the beast by way of what Lucifer has set up for him. He's going to give him this. He's going to give him his power. He's going to give him his seat. He's going to give him great authority. I want you to think about this. In the pioneer days in America, as Americans were traveling westward, they get out to the plains of Kansas or Nebraska, get out in the open, wide open spaces of Oklahoma, and a person would set up his stake there. In other words, his land claim, and he's going to farm that land. They're riding on horse and wagon. There may be tens, twenties, even hundreds of miles from the nearest town or whatever. They're out there all by themselves. They can pretty much live how they want to live. This is what a lot of people, even to this day, desire. That's why a lot of people move to Montana. Wide open spaces, get away from everybody. We can do what we want to do. They could live however they wanted to live, and the government didn't really have a whole lot of control over them. Not a lot of authority over them. They could pretty much do what they wanted to because it would take days to get to them. You see where I'm going? But now, we live in such a society that even if you move out to the middle of nowhere in Wyoming or Utah or wherever, Idaho, wherever, out in the middle, you go up into Canada, way out by some lake, eh? You go up there, they still watch everything you do. The satellites watching down. We've seen the technology. We know what's out there. You're never going to get away from the surveillance system and mechanism that they've set up. So now, if you don't do right, they're going to know about it. They're going to have great authority over you because they can see what you're doing. You see how much sense this Bible is so right. Revelation 13:7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Stop right here. Are you catching that? Because part of this, not only is it to rule over all the people, it's to know where the saints are, to make war with them. You know why? Because with Christ in us, we're actually more powerful than the bear, the lion, and the leopard, and the dragon. We can beat him. We can. We can overcome. We are victors in Christ Jesus. So he wants to make war with the saints. Got to know where they are and what they're doing. Make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. Do you think that if you build a bunker somewhere, get dehydrated foods enough to last 7 years, do you think that's going to work? It's not. Everything that you do right now is known and will be known. And it's increasing. Listen, just because there's a stink made about the prison program, that doesn't mean they're all going to back down and go, well, maybe we shouldn't do this. Maybe this is really illegal. They're going to ramp it up. They're just not going to tell everybody that they're doing it. And so great power was given to him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. This is a global thing. It's not just limited to America. It's all over the place. So think about this. Power, power, power. These three verses represented by the Antichrist. He is going to have power. Now let's go back and look at the symbol. The NSA or DARPA's program, Information Awareness Office. See the pyramid. See the all-seeing eye. See the prism here, which represents the Eye of Horus, and the light shining on planet Earth. And it has a logo under here, Scientia Est Potentia. You know what that means? Science or knowledge. If we can watch what everybody's doing, then we're going to have knowledge. Knowledge is power. So essentially, what this is telling us, and what we're able to see from the scriptures, what this is telling us is that this program, and all of the technology and all the monitoring systems and all that stuff is all about giving of great authority and power to the Antichrist. Who knows how far away that is? Who knows? But we're seeing it with our Bible glasses on. We're seeing it set up absolutely right now. We mentioned also the number 7 represents a transformation. Here is a Kabbalah or Rosicrucian symbol. This is from the Rosicrucians, the rites, mysteries, and so on. It has to do with, here we have the throne of God, and there's a triangle inside of that. We have the 7 rays coming out of it. His glory or his emanation shines downward through Saturn, which is the seventh planet. It goes through the 22 levels of Kabbalah, which is the Hebrew alphabet, or the 22 chromosomes of DNA. You go down to touch Lucifer's throne down in the heart of the earth. And so this is all this number seven and the rainbow and the throne of God and everything is all about empowering Lucifer so he can empower the beast and the Antichrist in the last days. In Kabbalah, there are seven Sephiroths. There's 10 total, but there's seven lower Sephiroths or seven divine emanations. And notice they all have their different color. They're associated with the chakras. They're associated with Helena Blavatsky's seven root races. Blavatsky talked about that. She said there's seven races. We're like starting with the Atlantean race. Remember, you know what that was? Atlantis was a kingdom that existed and it got flooded over by water. What was that? By the way, Atlantis had 10 kings over it. The 10 horns, the 10 toes. It was sunk underwater. That is the days of Noah. That's what happened. That's where the myth or the idea of Atlantis came from. It's actually based upon the biblical fact of the story of Noah. And so the Bible teaches us that those kingdoms and those giants and all that stuff was covered over by water. That's what Atlantis is. Blavatsky said it started with Atlantis, and now we are in the Aryan part of it now. And which was the basis of what Hitler was trying to do back during World War II. And we're awaiting a transformation by way of evolution. And when you think of that idea of transformation, turning mortals into gods. So the seven colors of the rainbow represent the chakras. It represents the idea of the Kabbalah and how a man can become a god through the 22 things and so on, which is the chromosomes, altering man's DNA. I'm going to head in that direction. And the idea of races has to do with ethnicity, which has to do with DNA. And so it's all about the transformation from this race to a higher race. That's what that rainbow represents. And here's the interesting thing, is that all of the Kabbalah, Freemasonry, the New Age movement, the occult, witchcraft, you name it, the chakras, everything, they all promise that when we get to that point, we're going to be liberated. We're going to be free. This is why the homosexual agenda is so based upon we want to be free. What they want to be free to do is take your child from you. That's what they want to be free to do. Right now we're in bondage. We can't really do that. That's exactly right, Jack. Don't forget it. That's what they want the freedom of. The problem is that while they promise freedom, they themselves are the servants of bondage. I know I didn't quote that quite right, but that's where they're headed. It's actually not going to bring freedom. It's going to bring the ultimate in bondage because the beast is going to have great authority over them. I mean, you've seen people. I don't want to go to church. I want to do what I want to do. You know what they're saying? I'm in bondage to alcohol and pornography and running around and cussing and doing everything in the world I want to do. I'm in bondage to that and I don't want out. That's what they're saying. God's going to bring it on one of these days. He is. He's going to bring it on one of these days. Powered by the rainbow. Picture the Antichrist. Here's a Masonic symbol. The two pillars of Jacob and Boaz. And the Masonic symbol, remember we talked about the rainbow girls. So we have the rainbow over the all-seeing eye. Stop. The all-seeing eye represents the Antichrist, Horus. We have the rainbow now over his head, just like on Obama. You look back here, you see the symbolism of it. It's all about transformation. The checkerboard floor, white and black fused together. That's what that represents. Here's another part of it. The two pillars of Jachin and Boaz. You'll see the elements, the elemental symbols, the little triangles on each column, both at the top and at the bottom. You see the idea of the sun on one and the moon on the other that represents opposites. Notice the ivy that's twirled around both columns. You know what that is? It's a picture of your DNA. Because in the Bible, the two pillars of the temple, the Bible says the temple is a picture of the body. the two pillars in Solomon's temple was 23 cubits long, 23 cubits long, 46. That's the number of chromosomes you have. In Genesis chapter 2, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they too shall become one flesh. If you go read that and look at the words in the King James Bible, 46 words that Adam said concerning the union of a man and a woman becoming one flesh. And so the 23 chromosomes from the man, 23 from the woman, joining together to form a child, the offspring of both of them. That's what these symbols represent. But in this case, the offspring coming from the opposites here, father, mother, see this spells it out. Notice the seven stars, and up at the top, you have a rainbow, an arch. It's called the Royal Arch of Freemasonry. You have a rainbow arched over all of this, and you have two twined serpents up at the top. It looks just like DNA. And so we have, as we look at this symbol some more, we have the lower world, inferius, joined with the heavenly world, superius. Now let's look at just a picture of a rainbow. I want you to notice that the rainbow is usually seen as going from the earth to the sky, and it's joining them two together. I just watched The Man of Steel, the new movie about Superman. I'm going to announce it now, I'm going to be doing a series of Watchmen broadcasts probably next week or the week after next, dealing with the whole mythology of what's in comic books. You ought to take it seriously. Because I watched The Man of Steel, and I came out saying this was an hour and a half, 2 hour evangelical film for the Antichrist. Because at one point, Jor-El, El means God, Jor-El tells Kal-El, if you don't know who that is, Jor-El is the father of the real father of Superman from the planet Secret, Mystery. That's what Krypton means. It means secret. It means a mystery. Anyway, they're from the planet Mystery, and Jor-El, the father of Kal-El, tells his son, whom he sends down to the earth to be a savior of mankind, he tells his son, you're the bridge between our world and theirs. You're the rainbow, son. Think about it. That's what that symbol represents. It's the bridge between earth and heaven. And Masonry knows this, and the occult knows this, and that's what they use. Albert Pike spoke of it in Morals and Dogma. He talked about the rainbow being a bridge or a connection between what's in heaven and what's in earth. Now, we mentioned alchemy earlier. Alchemy is all about the transformation of mortals into immortals, or the transformation of humans into gods. This symbol here, the seven planets, the seven parts of, or the seven stages of alchemy. Alchemy was always written in secrets and so on. In fact, there was one alchemical book that was printed. I did some research on this, dealing with the comic books and so on, the visualization power that they have. There was an alchemical manual that was printed that was nothing but pictures. No words whatsoever. It's called the Mutus Liber, which means the silent book, the muted book. It doesn't talk. It just uses these pictures to show the transformation of lead into gold, or the transformation of humans into gods. And so we look back at this symbol. We see the seven colors of the rainbow. And notice there's legs coming out of it. Notice we have hands and so on. So this is a human being who, by way of the power of the rainbow, has been transformed. So let's go back and look at this prism symbol again. So we have the light coming into the triangle, the prism, and it doesn't just stay the way that it goes into. It is transformed. It is changed. I want to go, I just had a thought here. I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to reference a verse out of that here in a little bit. 1 Corinthians 15, beautiful, beautiful chapter on the resurrection of human beings. What happens? And the Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians 15, the Bible says verse 37, and that which sowest, thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. it may chance of wheat or some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. And so I want you to think about this. Peter said, we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. So there is a transformation that takes place in the life of a born-again Christian, or someone who has accepted God and believes in God and trusts in God's salvation by faith. There is a transformation that takes place, a change. And the seed of the word of God gives us a new body. It is an incorruptible seed. That's why I believe there are no mistakes in the Bible. Therefore, it is an incorruptible body. And he says here, to every seed his own body. So when Peter said, we are born again, not of corruptible seed. So there is corruptible seed. Book of Mormon. There's corruptible seed that produces a corruptible new body. It is eternal corruption is what it is. And so, but watch this. The seed that goes in does not come out looking the same way. It is transformed, transmuted. It is trans everything, not transgendered. It is changed. And so that's what that symbol represents. The NSA, the powers that be, the spirits that are working in the children of disobedience right now, understand and are aware that that program is part of the overall fundamental transformation, not only of America, but of the entire world. That's what it represents. So let's look in the scripture. Let's get our bearings right so we understand the truth from the Word of God, so that when we venture out, we see the truth now that they don't want us to know about. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Conformed to this world means that we're changed and altered in the fashion and in the pattern and by the seed, the corruptible seed of this world. But now we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. I need a new brain. I got stinking thinking. I got hardening of the attitude. I learned all that in Kirby's Vacuum Cleaner Sales Club. Anyway, I don't like to talk about it. I'm not a salesman. Anyway, I learned that. I had hardening of the attitude, stinking thinking, had all that stuff. Need to have my mind changed. So David said in Psalm 51, because he had spent time staring at naked women from the roof of his house while they were bathing, and he ended up adultery with Bathsheba, killing her husband, all that stuff. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David knew that the way he was thinking needed to be changed, and he needed to be transformed. So it's the Word of God that transforms us. 1 Corinthians 15, we look in verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. See, I show you a krypton. I'm going to show you a secret. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And so that's the idea behind it. You and I are going to be transformed into immortals. We're never going to die after that. With an incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. This world is going to go through its own transformation with a corruptible seed, the seed of the Antichrist, the anti-word, the anti-Bible, as it were. It's going to be transformed and changed in a different fashion. The light going in, the prism changing it into the seven heads or the seven spirits of the Antichrist. So we see that, Paul actually talked about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves. Stop right here. Do you see the difference? With God, God transforms us. In the devil's world, we have to transform ourselves. This is what all this power of positive thinking garbage is all about. All the positive speakers and the Tony Robbins and the Joel Osteens and all these people telling us, now let's not have negative thoughts now. That's negative. Joel Osteen actually said, and preachers preached it from pulpits. If we will transform our thoughts, God will transform our lives. You see how it works? It's the idea that we have to change ourselves. This is what transhumanism is all about. It's not just, well, we're waiting for evolution to kick in. It's only been like 15 million years. They're going to do it themselves. We're going to alter man. We're going to do it. We're going to transform ourselves. Mankind is doing it. So look at this again. They transform themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into what? An angel of light. Little King James Bible lesson, just in case you have a little doubt. Well, actually the word Lucifer in Isaiah 14 is a bad translation because blah, 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 blah. You know what the word Lucifer means? Messenger of light. Bearer of light. That's what an angel is. He's a messenger. He's a bearer of light. Lucis. They got it right. They got his name right. He is transformed into an angel of light. But that's not what he really is. He's darkness. Angel of what? Light. Shining through the prism. Transforming. Isn't that cool? You see, the dragon, Lucifer, Satan, gave the Antichrist his power and his seat and great authority. Wow. This Bible, pay attention to what it says. Transformed into an angel of light. Transformation. Mm-mm-mm. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, let's look at the idea of this triangle being being the agent of change, the agent of transformation. In alchemy, there were processes. There were agents that changed elements from one to another. So we see here the triangle of Pink Floyd, the Office of Information Awareness, the all-seeing eye, but not just the triangle, the all-seeing eye on top of the unfinished pyramid. That's on the back of the dollar bill. I'm going to break this down for you very quickly. Anuit Coeptus, Novus Ordo Seclorum, he favors the coeptus, the birth of a Novus Ordo Seclorum, a new world order. Notice that we have a pyramid. And Manly Hall says that it has 13 rows. That number 13 is Mystery Babylon's number. But Manly Hall also said that it had 72 stones on it. And then we have at the top, notice that it's slightly above the rest of it. It's the capstone of the all-seeing eye. And the light shining through the all-seeing eye being radiated out. This is the devil giving him his power and his seat and his great authority, his glory. That's what he's trying to do. The angel of light is shining through this little prism and radiating out his power. That's what that all-seeing eye and the radiation coming out represents. What is the symbol of the unfinished pyramid itself? Dan Brown talked about it in The Lost Symbol. He said the bottom part of the triangle or the pyramid represents an unfinished work. The two corners on the bottom represent two things that are not complete. They need something added to it to make it God. So therefore, the unfinished pyramid represents man just keeps going the way he's going and he's going to destroy himself. Well, really, that's true. So he needs something to make him into a God. So we go back and it's the work unfinished. We go back in Genesis chapter 11. We have the Tower of Babel, the unfinished work. They're trying to build this spiraling tower. Think about it. But they have to stop. It's unfinished. It can't work. Gathered around the area of Sumeria, we have all the people, all the nations, and they were all one language and one speech. According to the previous chapter, Genesis chapter 10, that the families and the nations, how they were divided from Shem, Ham, and Japheth. I've counted it several times. I originally used to say there were 70. I went back and started counting again, and I have a record of it if anybody wants it. There are exactly 72 nations that make up the whole of who lives on this planet right now. So you go back to the symbol of the unfinished pyramid. you have the building blocks of this temple of the Antichrist, the 72 nations, literally their genes, their DNA, their genetic structure. And as long as they're apart, remember Isis and her husband Osiris is cut in pieces, scattered all over the earth. She's trying to bring them all back together to build his temple, his body for him, so that the head can be stuck back on top of it. And so you have the 72 nations now have to come together. And the all-seeing eye, the surveillance state has to be able to bring them, has to have the power to bring them all back together. And remember, the idea of the pyramid, P-Y-R, it's called a pyre, which is where we get the word fire. Look at this pyramid again. It basically represents a flame. You know, a flame, you know, is like big on the base and a little bitty at the top. That's what the pyramid represents. Think of Gnosticism. Think of what we're seeing now overcrowding everything. The idea of Gnosticism is that inside all 72 nations, there is a spark of divinity, a little bitty piece of God. When it all comes together, then the God is going to come out into a full flame. That's what the pyramid represents. Flame is light, transformation. That's what this idea of the light going into the triangle, coming out the seven rays, it's about the transformation of man into gods being ruled over with great authority by the Antichrist. We referenced the androgynous god Baphomet, and remember he has Salve and Coagula written on his arms. And I'm going to throw something in here, and to me this makes sense. We have to fundamentally change the world. Can't change the world because America is standing in the way. We're like the last holdout of freedom, liberty, Bible, Christianity, and I know there's Christians all over the world. But that's really the superpower that needs to be dissolved. We saw that happen September 11th, 2001. The symbol of them, the buildings literally dissolved. They turned into powder is what they did. Now we're building a new one, 1776. It's on the bottom of the pyramid. That's what we're doing. So we're seeing the destruction of the old, the two, into a one rising up from the ashes like a phoenix. All right? So Salve, we have to dissolve America. And I want you to think about this. Is this a plausible idea? There is some people in this country who think, yeah, we need to watch everything that everybody's doing, man, except for me. And then there's a bunch of people in this country that are going, we're sick of it. We're sick of it. We don't want you doing it. We don't want your health care. We don't want all your junk that you're throwing at us. We don't want your higher taxes. We don't want marijuana legal. We don't want that. And we don't want your surveillance over us. And we have guns. Salve. So a new coagulation of a new world order can take place. It's all about transformation. Now, this idea of the unfinished pyramid. Here's what it says, Psalm 139:16. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there is none of them. So we imagine, and we've talked about this so many times, and I'm just kind of give you the basics. If you've never heard me talk about this, where have you been? Because I talk about it so much. But go watch the video, Jesus Christ, DNA in the Holy Bible. And I explain to you that DNA literally is a two-part book that God wrote, and He put it together. And that's what makes us. And that's why David said, in thy book, all my members were written. He was describing DNA, the two strands of DNA. Very important to remember. Then, go watch the video, The Mother of All Secrets, or Freemason Symbols Revealed, or anything like that. And you'll see that it's about the alteration of the book. More than likely by taking things out that they don't like. Which is what? Oh, where's all my weird Bibles at? The book has done. And the New King James. Let me get this out here because I'm going to talk about this here in a little bit. Which is what all the new Bible translations, they've taken stuff out. Now we're going to add something to it. And God said, the book that I wrote, DNA, not supposed to do that. He said in Revelation 22, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, that if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of this book, of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." So what we're dealing with, in this whole concept of transformation is that at some point they're going to take man's DNA, which if you look at the bottom part of the pyramid, the two corners of the pyramid represent the unfinished book, the unfinished DNA. Needs to have something added to it. And I'm going to show you how this works. Okay? Here we have, and this is going to make some people mad. I'm going to rightly divide the Bible. It already is. Old, new. And let's see, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what the Mormon religion is all about. They say, well, we use the King James Bible. Which is kind of funny because they say, we believe the King James Bible as long as it was translated right. 54 translators working in a peer review situation, circular fashion, 7 years, all together coming to an agreement as to every word and how it was translated in the King James Bible. And they say it's not translated right. Joseph Smith, by himself, from a book of, let's see here, some kind of hieroglyphic, reformed hieroglyphics, a book that he had to wear special glasses to be able to read what it said, by himself, translated the entire Book of Mormon by himself. No one ever saw the original plates and the head, the glasses. No one helped him. But he did it right in every word. I don't buy that. So anyway, here we have, watch this. This is corruptible seed. You believe this garbage, you'll die and go to hell. It's as simple as it is. It is corruptible seed. Here we have the Word of God. And it says right here, here we have the Old Testament, the New Testament. This is one strand of your DNA. Here's the other one. And they are joined together by the four Gospels. That's the four base pairs. Here we have another testament of the Lord Jesus Christ, the third one. And their whole religion rests upon this. Adding to the Word of God. Adding to man's book. His DNA. This is why Mormons, in their fundamental core, they don't have a problem with transhumanism. Because really, that's what they're all about. They're about turning men, who are this, into gods. Immortals. Ruling over your own planet with as many wives as you want. Bunch of perverts. And I don't mean that. They have a perverted sense of marriage. It's not designed God's way. Let me show you this concept in the words of the Secret Society of Rosicrucianism. This is from Rosicrucian.com. And Rosicrucianism deals with a secret character by the name of Christian Rosenkreutz. Christian Rosicrucianus. By the way, the Georgia Guidestones, and it was paid for and set up, and no one knows who did it. They do have a name, though, of some guy who came and paid for all the money, oversaw all the work, and then never heard from him again. He called himself R.C. Christian. Christian Rosicrucianus. Here's what Rosicrucianism, which John Dee was the elements of Freemasonry is in Rosicrucianism. Here's what they said. His very name is an embodiment of the manner and the means by which present-day man is transformed into the divine Superman. This symbol, Christian Rosenkreuz, the Christian Rose Cross, shows the end and aim of human evolution. Think about it. The road to be traveled, the means whereby that end is gained, the black cross, the twining green stem of the plant, the thorns, the blood-red roses. In these is hidden the solution of the world mystery, man's past evolution, present constitution, and particularly the secret of his future development. In other words, the secret is all about how we're going to change mankind. We're going to add something to his. See, the cross is this. That's the cross. It's the X chromosome. We're going to add something to the X chromosome of mankind. We're going to add something to his DNA, the thorns, because that's what the rose, the sacred feminine, conceals. She conceals. You look, oh, that flower is so pretty, and you reach to grab it and pick it, and you go, ah, I got thorns in me. See, the rose conceals the thorns. The thorns is a picture of the curse, the Antichrist. That's what it's a picture of. Damien Thorne in The Omen. That was his name, Damien Thorne. He was the Antichrist. So watch this. They're going to add something to man's DNA. There was an article, and I featured this in several of our videos, Scientific American, called the triple helix, adding a third strand to man's DNA to make him better, to make him better. And the race to discover the whole idea of what DNA looked like, Watson and Crick actually came up with the idea of two-strand DNA. But there was a there was another physicist, Linus Pauling or something like that, that actually theorized that man's DNA was actually three-strand. He was only off by a few years. Hadn't happened yet, but it's going to. This is what a three-strand DNA looks like if you're looking down like you look through a toilet paper roll. You know how we always pretend our telescopes. That's what it looks like if you're looking straight down the tunnel through three-strand DNA. This is a symbol. It's an ancient occult symbol called the Triskella. It is a representation of three-strand DNA. The first cousin to the Triskella symbol is the triquetra. I want you to notice the two bottom ovals represent the two strands of DNA. The third one is that which rises out of them and is added to that. If we go back to the symbols of Jachin and Boaz, you see that there. You see Jachin and Boaz, the two pillars, father and mother, joined together. And what's at the top of the rainbow looks like DNA, looks like seed, serpent seed, is actually the third strand added to the other two. So we're in dealing with, in fact, let me show you this. That's what this represents. This is a New King James Version of the Bible, and it has the triquetra. It's got it all over it. Of course, they say, now we say that it's a symbol of the Trinity, and yet God said, there is no symbol of the Trinity. We cannot imagine that the Godhead can be graven with art and man's device. God was saying, if you see something and somebody says that's the Trinity, I'm telling you it's not, it's something else. It represents the fundamental transformation of mankind. Here's what it looks like in the Scriptures. Daniel 2:42. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. So we go to this symbol of the triquetra, or the three strands of DNA, and here we have clay. The iron or the clay kingdom, mankind with his two strands, and here we have something added to it to make man perfect. If you look at the all-seeing eye, that's what you have. You have the two strands here, and you have the third part is the transformation part, the prism. So now the light can shine through it, and the seven colors are coming out. That's what we're dealing with here. There are other government agencies. This symbol, they love it. They love this symbol. The Department of Transportation uses the Triskella symbol or a version of the triquetra. It's all about three-strand DNA. Mankind changing, being altered into these little gods. Trilateral Commission, you see it there. The guy that put me onto this, a fellow by the name of Paul, I appreciate it. God used him to help me with this. What got him to thinking about it was he lives out in the Baltimore, D.C. area. He took a picture of a new monument they erected outside of the Pentagon. Take a look at it. That's what it is. It's a representation of the triple helix or three-strand DNA. The National Institutes of Health. What is their... Think about it. Health. Mortals die. We have sicknesses and diseases, so the health department must make us better. And their symbol is the triangle. Two parts of DNA, the God added to make the third part to make men gods. In the United Kingdom, the APACS system, the UK Payments Association. Notice that they like have a double one here, which is actually the number six. But anyway, they have a double triquetra, a double triple helix here as a representation. Now you say, what's the thing between human transformation and money? Think of Revelation 13. He causeth both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead where their pineal gland is, and that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark. We actually have a video called The Triple Helix, and I give you the basis of the fundamental basis of what I'm teaching, both from the scripture and from the occult world. And I show you all these symbols of health institutes and banking things and everything like that, how they're all working together, and they all use a variant of this same symbol. Now, here's what was interesting to me. Because part of the PRISM program, you know, the triangle that transforms, part of the PRISM program was that they were in cahoots, because they were all at the Bilderberg meeting, in cahoots with Yahoo and American Online and Facebook and everything else, and of course, the giant, Google. Google is everywhere, man. They are. Google is, they've revolutionized everything. Google, they borrowed the Linux operating system. They took it, they revamped it a little bit, made the Android system. They have an operating system called Chrome OS. Their operating system is in phones, tablets, you name it, it's everywhere, and they're all Google, as part of its standard operating system. When you do a search, they don't go through Yahoo. They go through Google. And Google, they're like an elephant. They remember everything you typed in. They handed that over to the government for nothing. Their browser is a triquetra, Google Chrome. Take a look at this. There's Janet Napolitano at the National what? Fusion Center Conference. And she's explaining to the people how the Fusion Center works. You see the three strands of DNA here? How they're all working together to bring about the beast, power, and seed, and great authority. They're all working together to bring this about. And it's the idea of fusion. The fusion centers actually popped up after 9/11 because everybody kept saying, well, the CIA should have known this. They had some of the information. The FBI had some of the information. And they were fighting one another because they're like cops. Hey, that's my caller, man. And so they didn't get along. That's the story we're supposed to believe. And so the Patriot Act, in order to make us, give us peace and safety, fused all the government spying organizations and intelligence apparatus together into what's called fusion centers. And there are, in every state of this union, every state has its own fusion center. Local law enforcement, CIA, FBI, all putting their information into one basket. Now we have the health care bill, which is going to bring in the health care information, IRS tax information, any arrest record that you have, plus the NSA's ability to monitor your cell phones, your emails, your internet searches, and everything that you do, because we are a technology-oriented society and there's almost no way out of it. All that information, your name pops up, they know who you are, where you live, who you live with, what you ate for breakfast, because they got you on camera at McDonald's. They know everything. You're databased, and it's all fused together by that symbol to give the devil power, his seat, or excuse me, the Antichrist, to give him great authority. Think about how it was in the old days when they didn't have cameras everywhere. They just had Roman Catholic priests who sat in confessionals and listened to people tell all these priests who were humans all of their dirty little secrets. Well, the priest is not supposed to know who's in there, but it's funny because they always have a little window. And those priests knew who that was in there. The most powerful man in the community was the Catholic priest, because he knew everybody's dirty little secret. And if you think these guys were all holy men of God and never used that, you're crazy. They were the devil's spy organization long before the NSA shows up. So now we have churches playing along with this. Here's a, and I featured this before, the Fusion Church. Better together. You see what they're saying? The two strands, they're not good. Bring it together with the third, now we're better together. What does Masonry teach? Making good men better. Okay? Live better. Walmart, live better. So, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the Bible says, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden what? Destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." So watch this. We're setting up right now with all the fusion centers and the technology and the surveillance apparatus, we're setting up a scenario where we're going to bring peace and safety to the entire world. And when that happens, it says, sudden destruction cometh upon them. That's actually a person. His name is Apollyon and Abaddon. That's who sudden destruction is. Sudden destruction is then going to, when this system is in place, and everybody says, I just feel at peace and safe now. Boom! It's going to happen. As travail upon a woman with child. Literally, the birthing of the Antichrist. He favors the birth, coeptus. The New World Order is going to be birthed as a woman in travail with a child. Now, watch this. Indiana Intelligence Fusion Center. Nationwide suspicious activity reporting. Because you can think what you want about the evil government. Have you not ever made a phone call or know of somebody who made a phone call because they thought maybe their neighbor was growing pot in their backyard or cooking meth? I have. I remember, I won't tell the circumstances, but I smelled a very, very strange smell coming out of a house. And I called law enforcement. I said, I think you need to check this out. Because Jefferson County is the methamphetamine cooking capital of the world. We have the top chefs. And fortunately, it wasn't methamphetamine, but the young lady that lived in there was so doped up and partying the night before, she put in a pan of cinnamon rolls because she had the munchies, and she passed out. And they baked all night long and were burning in her oven, and she was too sleepy to know about it. Anyway, but we've done it. And so now, the Department of Homeland Insecurity is wanting everybody to get in on the deal. You want to be a good American? Spy on your neighbor. Turn them in. If your neighbor has a I Hate Obama bumper sticker, give us a call so we can put them in our database. If your neighbor has the Don't Tread on Me flag, give us a call. If your neighbor's anti-union, give us a call. We're going to know about it. Suspicious activity reporting. If you see a child outside making a symbol of a gun with their fingers, better give us a call. There's guns in that house. Do you know that's right in the Bible? Mark chapter 13, verse 12. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, the father, the son, and children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. Jesus was telling you what was going to happen in the last days. Neighbors and brothers and fathers and parents against children, and children rising up against their parents. You see, one of the things we're learning now about the whole public school system apparatus is that they're working feverishly to try to turn the children into spies in their own homes. Do your parents smoke cigarettes? Are they overweight? Who lives in your house? Is there a man that lives in your house that's not your father? You see what they're getting at? They're digging for information to be reported. They're turning the children against their parents. Now, I'll say just as a side note, the American home has virtually been destroyed by sin. And my heart goes out to anybody who was ever raised in a house where they were abused. My heart goes out to you. This is a consequence of the sins of America. I get it. I absolutely get it. But now it's going beyond that. Now we're turning children into agents of the American government. You don't believe me? Department of Homeland Insecurity actually releases an app for Android and iPhone called Snap Scouts. See it? Snap it. Send it. Download it now. Hey, I'm George. I'm a Snap Scout. Want to play? Snap Scouts keep America safe. Because kids have cameras in their hands. Kids can take pictures of the pot that somebody's growing in their basement. Kids can take pictures of mom and dad. Kids can take pictures of everything they want. And all they have to do is use that app and send it in. And now the government knows that they're not leaving any stone unturned. And they talk about it. See the kid? He's got a spyglass in one hand. See the left eye? See the left eye here? That's the all-seeing eye of Horus. And an American flag in the other. I'm a patriot because I work for the Antichrist. That's what that is. And I don't know how soon this stuff's going to come down. I don't know. But I'm telling you, you put your Bible glasses on, you can see the apparatus and the network of the beast being set up right now, right in front of your very eyes. It's like we're watching the building of the pyramid. And as soon as we see, we can't put the capstone on until we get to the top. We get to the top and it's ready. Now the capstone can be put in place. It's the last piece. There's a video I did called The Missing Piece. Take a look at that for more background into this. You'll see it. You'll understand it. How soon? I don't know. But let me say this. If your life is hidden in Christ Jesus, the way the Bible says, you have nothing to worry about. Absolutely nothing to worry about. God will keep you. He will shelter you, Psalm 91, under His feathers. Yes, God has feathers, the Holy Spirit, like a dove. God will hide you and protect you. But if all you are is just a big mouth conspiracy theorist, like Alex Jones, if that's all you are, you're either going to die or you're going to take the mark. It's that simple. And there's no way out of it except Jesus Christ. God bless you. I hope you've learned something. I hope you see beyond what the news and what all the other information sites on the internet can tell you. I hope you're seeing now from the Word of God where this is headed. We know that it is happening. Where is it happening? This is what God helps us do as watchmen on the wall, is that we can see it coming far enough in advance that we can send the warning and sound the alarm in the last days. You help us. Send links out to the videos, especially this one. Share it. Copy the DVDs we send out. Give them to people. I promise you, we'll never haul you into jail for it. I got one guy that's selling them without my permission. I'm not doing anything about it. You know why? Because people are getting the videos. And so we praise the Lord for that. And so help us out. Help us out. Pray for us. Keep us in your prayers. If you can support us, that's great. Because we're just going to make more videos and more DVDs for people. Sounding the alarm before it's too late. All right, God bless you. This is Pastor Mike. I love you. Appreciate you. And we'll see you the next time. Bye-bye.